As many of you know, when I listen to sermons, I will listen to the sermon, but I'll also follow along in Scripture. And I will take notes as I go, because the Lord will teach me out of what I'm hearing. On rare occasions, I'll hear a sermon and it's like, okay, you know, enough of that. And just, that's it. Turn it off, and because it's just wrong. But the ones that really feed me, so many of them I've listened to more than once over the years. But what I'm going to share with you tonight is a result of, and honestly, I don't even remember what. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know if I was listening to a sermon. I don't know if I was not listening to a sermon. I was just praying. I don't remember. This has been in my list of things that the Lord has shared with me and pointed out. I don't know for how long. But as I was praying this afternoon and seeking God about tonight, and I always kind of go through those notes to say, okay, you know, you gave this to me over the years, so there's coming a time when you're going to want me to share this in some way, shape, or form. And he just led me to this, and man, I was just really drawn to it. So I'm going to share it with you tonight. This is what he wanted me to pass along. Look over in Exodus chapter 13. We're going to start there and look at several places. Exodus chapter 13. I'll give you a moment to turn over there. This is a very familiar story. It's about what happened when Israel came out of Egypt. And as I was going through all of this, whenever it was, back however many, I don't know, years ago, the Lord began to use things in this story as analogies for what happens in our own lives. And I'm going to pass this along to you tonight. In Exodus chapter 13, just go to verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now look over in chapter 40, Exodus chapter 40. And in Exodus chapter 40, we'll just begin reading in verse 34. And this is after they have the tabernacles, you know, set up and so forth. And it says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. That's important to remember, throughout all their journeys. Okay, now, in essence, here's what we have. The children of Israel come out of Egypt, and God says, I'm going to lead you in this whole process. During the day, you're going to have this cloud. During the night, there's going to be a pillar of fire. When the tabernacle is set up, my cloud is going to be there at the tabernacle. And you guys stay right where you are. But when my cloud begins to move, you guys pack up and get ready to go, because I'm taking you further. We're moving. And it wasn't easy. When you think about everything they had to do, I mean, I don't know if you've ever gone camping. I've never been a camper myself, but I've gone a couple of times over the years. And, you know, you get your tent, everything set up, and, you know, you're settled. And it's kind of fun when you get finished, kind of. I mean, only kind of, all right? I am not a camper kind of a, no way. Yeah, I want a hotel. I want something that flushes, all right? Even if I don't get maid service, I can make my own bed, but I want a real bed. I don't want a cot or a sleeping bag or anything like that. But once you're done with everything that's set up. It's like, whew, boy, we're finished. Well, the time comes when it's, you know, got to go home, so you got to take everything apart. You got to hope you get the tent all folded correctly, blah, blah, blah. Well, just imagine what it was like for these folks, because their tents weren't these little Boy Scout tents. These were like tents the size of small houses. They were big. And then you got the whole tabernacle. That thing was massive. Well, I got to take everything apart, get it all set up, ready to go, then follow the cloud. So it was hard work. It was hard work. But remember, there was a purpose in this. Now, for us, how this relates is we all want God to lead us into the next whatever of life, into the next whatever of ministry. In other words, if we had a cloud, we would want God, this cloud, to begin to move. Because when the cloud moves, we know, okay, here we go. This is, you know, praise God. We're on our way. I want to go from where I am to where I need to be. And the only way that's going to happen, I mean, really happen, is if God begins to move in me, begins to move in my life, and I begin to, symbolically, I sense the cloud on the inside starting to stir, okay? And so I know it's time to get ready. But now, when this cloud began to move for the Jews, they did not know for sure where the next destination would be. But what they did know is that this is representing a change for us. And we don't know for sure where we're going. We don't know where that cloud's going to stop. All we know is when that thing starts moving, we move. And we keep going until the cloud stops. Well, where it stops, you know, to us, nobody knows. But it's moving. And if we want to be in the will of God, we're going to have to keep going and just keep going and going and going until the cloud stops. Then we set up camp. It represents change. Whenever that stirring, that cloud on the inside begins to move, you know, you can tell, you know, something's happening. It represents change. But the first thing that's going to hit you, it's going to be the imaginations, the emotions of change. Nobody likes change, but we all want it when it comes to the things of God. We talk about, come on, God, let's get a move on. Come on, God, let's go. Come on, God, break forth. Let's just do it, you and me, God. And finally the day comes and he says, okay. And you sense, okay, he's getting ready to move. It's like, well, now wait a minute. I didn't mean like now. I'll let you know when I'm ready. And when I'm ready, I'll tell you. Then you can move and I'll follow. But on the inside, the truth of the matter is, we ain't ever going to be ready. Because, let's just admit it, there's something in us that is afraid of change. And, you know, well, you know, fear, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. We all know how to quote the verse, right? But when it comes right down to it, it's the fear of the unknown. And over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, right now my knowledge is God's moving. He's wanting me to move. Now, when I say God's moving and he wants me to move, that doesn't mean, well, sell your house and go. I mean, it could. It doesn't mean, well, you know, just pack up and go over to this. It can mean a number of different kinds of things. It's just change. It's change. And on the inside, it's like, well, yeah, I want it. But then there's also that whole concept of, yeah, but man, I don't know. I mean, am I ready? Am I ready for this? I got news for you. If the cloud weren't stirring, you wouldn't be ready. Because God is not going to move you until he knows you're ready to move. He looks beyond your emotions. He looks beyond your flesh. He looks at what has happened to you on the inside in your spirit. And he knows when the time has come that he is ready to move you. Now, you not be ready. You say you're ready, but you may not really be ready. So the first thing that's going to happen is change. You know, change is coming, but you just don't know what it all means. Now, the next thing. This move of God It represent for the Jews, it represented a new camp. They're going to a new place to set up camp. But for us, it represents a new level in God. Listen, God, let me say it like this in human terms. God is not static, and He does not make horizontal moves. When God moves in your life, it is always to be a vertical move. He's always wanting to take you further, higher, deeper into Him, into His glory, into His presence, into His will, everything. It represents promotion. Now, some promotions are going to be greater than others, but the degree of promotion is not as relevant as the fact of promotion. So I know this, when God begins to move, He is seeing something in me that I probably cannot see myself. A flip side to that is, if I think that, bless God, it's time to move, then it's probably not time to move. When God looks on the inside of us, and He sees that in us we've reached a place of spiritual development to where now it's time to go forward, then it's time to go forward. Now see, it sounds maybe so vague because it's going to be different for every single purpose or every single person relative to God's purpose for each person. This move, this change, it's going to be different for every single one of us, but it is going to be a move forward. And I don't know how this would relate, because if you ask me, well, what would that mean to me? I can't give you answers. Unless I get some kind of supernatural Holy Ghost revelation, I can't tell you exactly what that would be for you. But it will be something good, that is for sure. Now the third thing, I want you to look in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And all of this that I'm sharing with you tonight, these are things that are going to happen when God is moving and leading you in this new direction. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 9, "And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." Now look in verse 13. "And Joshua discomfited," or defeated, "Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." In chapter 24, Exodus chapter 24, in verse number 4. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just go ahead and skip over to 33. Exodus 33. For the sake of time. Because we want to cover a lot of ground here. Exodus 33. Verse 9, "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." All right, so what are we seeing? We're seeing, number one, Joshua. You know, we go back, we don't turn to it right now, but all of a sudden this guy Joshua just shows up. And Moses says, okay, Joshua, you know, get some men together, go fight the battle. Joshua says, yes, sir. Boom, goes out, wins the battle. Then we see, and now there are other references to Joshua, we're just looking at these two. Moses goes in, he has his time with God, speaks to God face to face, but it says here that Joshua departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, as I'm going through all of this, here's what the Holy Spirit was sharing with me. When God tells you to move, and He tells you to start going forward, He's going to bring people into your life who are going to represent strong leadership of the Spirit. He's going to bring people into your life who will stand beside you. In another place it talks about that Joshua was Moses' minister, meaning his helper, his assistant. The message in this is that when God begins to move in your life, He's not going to expect you to be all alone. There are going to be people he's going to bring into your life. He's either going to raise some people up you already know, or he's going to bring new people into your life to help you go into this next phase of what he's doing in you, through you, for you, and by you. He's going to bring a Joshua into your life. It could be somebody. It says here that Joshua was a young man. Now, as a young man, I'm sure there were a lot of other people around saying, well, who does he think he is, a scrawny little runt? I mean, he's not qualified to do anything. Yeah, well, neither was David. Remember that? And he's the guy that got anointed to be the next king of Israel. So God is going to bring a Joshua into your life, and this Joshua, at first, you may not recognize this person. But God is going to bring this person to your attention. And this person is going to... Now notice it says right here that Joshua departed not out of the tabernacle. The Joshua that God brings into your life is going to be somebody who knows how to stay in the presence of God. It's going to be somebody who seeks after the things of God, not the things of the flesh. It's going to be somebody who may not meet what you think are all of the qualifications or the descriptions of the kind of person that you would choose yourself. But God is going to bring this person into your life, and this person is going to help you every step of the way. This person is going to be there for you. This person will not turn their back on you. This person is going to be there with you at least until you reach this next destination. And he may be with you for the rest of the journey as you fulfill the will of God in your life. So when God begins to move, be prepared. Somebody is going to rise up, either somebody you know or somebody you don't know, but God is going to bring somebody in because he doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. I mean, think about this. God ministered to Jesus when Jesus spent all night in prayer. And God told him, son, the next morning I want you to go down there and pick 12 fellas to help you out. You can't do all of what I want you to do alone. You're going to need these guys to be with you. And then God led him to pick out Peter, James, and John as like the inner circle of the inner circle. And they were a help to Jesus the whole time that he was here on earth. God is going to bring a Joshua into your life. Now the fourth thing, look in Numbers. Numbers chapter 12, we'll start right there. Numbers chapter 12, in verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now remember, Miriam, you know who they were? That's his brother and his sister. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, look over in chapter 13. In chapter 13, the spies have gone out, 12 spies that come back. And verse 27 says, these spies were talking, we came into the land whither thou sentest Moses. And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites, and all the rest of the Ites. And Caleb stilled the people and said, no, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up against him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Well, you continue reading, the people bellyache, fuss, complain. Say, boy, it would have been better for us to be back in Egypt. No, it wouldn't. It would have been, let's kill Moses. Let's get somebody else to take us where we want to go. I mean, it was a stinking mess. Well, now look over in chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah, verse 1, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Well, you know the rest of the story. These guys, they created problems. I mean, it was an uprising, it was a revolt, so on and so forth. Okay, now, what have we seen? We've seen Aaron and Miriam rise up against Moses, have we not? And they said, Who do you think you are? Then we see what? We see the spies. We can't do this. We can't do this. Oh, yeah, you know, God promised, but we can't do this. We can't do this. Then we see Korah and his bunch. Who do you think you are? Now, here's what the Lord showed me in this. When he begins to move and he begins to take us forward, the strongholds of the flesh are going to rise up from within. And the flesh is going to say, you can't do this. The flesh is going to say, you can't make it. Who do you think you are? You're going to fail. You're going to flop. There's no hope. Blah, blah, blah. The flesh is going to want to take control of the situation in every way possible to keep you from moving forward. The flesh is going to say, number one, you can't. And then when the spirit rises up and says, wait a minute. When your spirit becomes like the voice of Caleb, and says, yes, but I can do this. With God, all things are possible, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Then the flesh is going to rise up and try to tell you how to do it your own way. So, you know, you've got all this stuff coming against you. In other words, these strongholds that you didn't think were in there. When God begins to move, there's going to be a time of purging of the flesh as well. And sometimes it's not going to be a whole lot of fun because, you know, Moses, I'm sure he loved his brother and his sister, but they were rising up against him. Sometimes there are going to be things of the flesh going to rise up that we're going to have to deal with, but we don't want to because we like this stuff. I don't want to have to stop watching football. And God says, well, you know, for a period of time, you're going to have to. But God, I don't think you understand. It's, you know, my team was the champions. I mean, come on now. I know you root for them. That's why they won. Hallelujah. The strongholds on the inside are going to rise up. And it's going to be a battle with the flesh. It's going to be a battle with those emotions. It's going to be a battle with stuff. There may be stuff rise up that you thought had been dealt with. And the reason that happens is because God wants you to see what you're going to have to deal with as you're following Him on the path to the next destination. And He's going to say, look, here it is. I'm bringing it to light. Now, when this happens, just assume He knows what He's talking about. Just assume He is right and these are things that you need to deal with because they're going to have to be dealt with so that when you do reach that next level, you're ready to function spiritually at full capacity. And you're not going to have to, you won't continue to battle with stuff that should have been taken care of. The next thing, look in Numbers 14. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward which have murmured against me, doubtless ye will not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Now here's what the Lord shared with me about this one. Okay, the strongholds are going to rise. But at the same time, you're now at a place to where His anointing in you is empowering you, and those strongholds are going to die. They're going to drop off. Just like everybody here, ages 20 and up, Israel kept walking in that wilderness. One by one, these people are dying. One by one, the stronghold of rebellion, the stronghold of murmuring, the stronghold of complaining, the stronghold of all this junk, one by one, it was dying off, dying off, dying off as they continued on this journey until the day came, the last one died, and there they went into the promised land. The Holy Spirit was showing me, yeah, these strongholds are going to come to your attention, but the thing is, you're going to realize on the inside of you, they're being put to death. That stuff's being cut away. That stuff is not going to live with you forever. It's going down, and you're going to rise above it and walk in victory the rest of your life. And once this stuff, once it dies, it's not going to be resurrected from the dead. It's going to be gone. And once these people died, they were never again a problem for the nation of Israel. It was over. Now the next one, look in Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. Well, Israel, you know, they're out there and in the wilderness and they're marching along. And one day, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, decides to pay a visit. Well, he shows up, and what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And look here in verse 27, "And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land." Now here's what the Holy Spirit shared with me. As you are moving forward with God, as you sense He's taking you to this next place, this next level, He is going to send a Jethro into your life to speak the wisdom of God. Because the potential to be distracted by everything going on is very real. Moses did not realize that he couldn't handle this. He thought he could. And the reason we know that he thought he could was because he was doing it. He didn't even think to delegate any of this authority. He didn't even know if maybe he could delegate the authority. He just wasn't sure. So here he is. He's trying to do it all. And then Jethro shows up and he sees what's going on and he walks up to Moses and he says, "Look, you can't do this alone." Now, do you know what Moses could have said? Moses could have said, "Look, I know you're my father-in-law, but back off. Do you not know who went before Pharaoh? Do you not know who stood before the burning bush? Do you not know who has heard the voice of God? Do you not know who is in charge here? I appreciate, you know, you hanging around here, and I mean, you know, thank you for your daughter and all that, but, you know, I'm Moses. I'm the one who's moving forward here? Now, that's an exaggeration, but that's kind of what he could have done. But he listened. And remember what Jethro said. Now, I'm paraphrasing. Jethro said, look, you take my words and you think about that and then get the counsel from God. When a Jethro comes into your life, he's going to give you advice that may contradict some of your own thoughts. But listen to him, and then you get the counsel of God. Father, am I hearing this? Is what he told me here right? Well, in this case, yeah, it was right. God confirmed to Moses, this is what you need to do. And this is what the Holy Spirit was sharing with me, is that there's going to be a Jethro that's going to come. Now, it could be more than one. It's symbolic. But there's going to be a Jethro come into your life who's going to speak the wisdom of God that, for whatever reason, you're not receiving on your own. When that person shows up and starts to speak, listen. And listen hard. And then pray about it. I've had people come to me in the past. Well, you know, Pastor, what do you think I should do? Or Pastor, I'm thinking about. Or Pastor, what about? And they ask me questions. Now, when anybody comes to me, one of the things that I try to do is listen to them with one ear and the Holy Spirit with the other. To hear exactly what's going on. And a lot of times, while people are talking to me, I'm praying on the inside, Father, what do I need to hear? What are they really saying? What do you want me to see? So on, what do I say? And all this other. And there are some times where he's revealed to me what's going on, but he hasn't released me to identify it because they're not ready. Then there are other times where I've passed along, okay, you know, here's, better think about this, better pray about this. And then they go off and do the opposite, end up in a mess. Then they come for prayer. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I get delivered from this mess. The temptation is to say, hey, you're stuck with it, man. Just you're on your own. But you don't do that. But a Jethro is going to come into your life. And he's going to speak the wisdom of God. Listen to your Jethros when they enter into your life. Next one. Look in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And what's happened, you know, Moses has died. And Joshua has become the leader. Well, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, they're right there at the Jordan River. And they can look across and they can see the promised land. And here's what the Lord showed me. He said, if you will, when I begin to move and you begin to follow me, you're going to get to the place of sensing you're right there at the breakthrough. You are right at this place of victory. Right at this place of this new level. You're going to begin to sense something stirring in your spirit to the journey is about over. This journey. that you're right here. At this next breakthrough, you're right at the verge of the next step taking you into this place where you've been headed. There's going to be an excitement on the inside of you. And that excitement is going to be a spiritual excitement. It will impact your emotions. But it's going to be birthed in the spirit. Call it the joy of the Lord. Call it, I mean, however you want to describe it. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. But there's going to be this knowing on the inside. You've been following God now for days, weeks, months, maybe years. I don't know. But you're going to realize I'm there. In other words, it's going to be like the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. This journey has been worth it. Get ready. Here it comes. Here it comes. And you're going to have what He's been promising you the whole time. You're going to step into your promised land. But along with that, chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and that's all we're going to read. You know what happened, and they marched, and the walls fell, and so on and so forth. He said, you need to understand, all these things that have happened so far in this journey, and now here you are, you're ready to just go in there. It's right there. It's right there. You can almost see it. You can feel it. But know this, the enemy is waiting for you. And he is going to do everything he can to put up a Jericho wall to keep you from fully possessing everything God has promised. And he says, you've got to know this. By the time you get there, you're going to be ready for the battle. The enemy is going to try to tell you this wall is too big. It's too formidable. I've got too... Notice this, what he said. He said, I've given into thine hand the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Symbolically, I've given unto you the principality and all of his devils that are standing against you. You have prayed yourself into an anointing that you are going to tear down this stronghold and go in and take possession of everything I've guaranteed for you. Everything at this place. You're going to tear it down. The enemy can't stand before you. I've given it into your hands. Oh, the enemy's there. He's real. But the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through me. And you're going to pull this stronghold down. And you're going to take possession of what I promised. Because you've been on this journey far too long. And I've been preparing you for this moment. You win. You win. And the last one. This is good. Now look in Joshua chapter 5. And we'll just look at two verses, and I'll share with you what they represent to us. In verse 10 it says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Well, what are we seeing in this? When they crossed over, the manna ceased. But that's not all. Do you remember earlier when we read how that God said, you're going to have the cloud by day and the fire by night during your journeys? They've reached the end of their journey. You know what that means? No more cloud by day. No more fire by night. There's no more manna. There's also no more Mount Sinai. What happened on Mount Sinai? The glory of God began to show like a fire. The cloud was up there. The mountain rumbled. The voice of God came down from the mountain. I mean, the people had an experience with God. Even though they didn't go up the mountain, they told Moses, you go for us. We're too scared to go up that mountain. You know, God's up on that mountain. They had an encounter with God that was indescribable. But now look where they are. There's no more manna. There's no more cloud. There's no more fire. There's no more Mount Sinai. In other words, everything that you've experienced in the past is over. Quit looking behind you to the last camp meeting. Quit looking behind you to the last church service. Quit looking behind you to the last this, to the last that. Quit sitting around and talking about, boy, I'll tell you what, that was some kind of revival we had back then. Boy, I tell you, people flopped on the floor and ran the pews and everything was going on. Memories aren't wrong of those things. But when these people got over into the promised land, there was time. It was time to have this experience with God. From that day forward, God was going to lead them in a whole different way. There's no more cloud. There's no more fire. Everything's changing. Meaning, now symbolically, you have reached a point in me. You no longer need the cloud by day, the fire by night, the rumblings on the mountain, or the miracle manna. Now let me say it one way. You've reached a point in me where you no longer have to live by the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit every time you show up in a church service. You've reached the place in me where you no longer need to get in every prayer line there is and have somebody lay hands on you and get a word from me. You've reached the place to where you can receive a word from me on your own. In other words, things have changed because we have matured in the Lord and we are ready for a deeper move of Him in us. Praise God. When the cloud begins to move, all kinds of stuff is going to change in our life. But the end result are the promises and the blessings of God for this next phase of our life and our ministry. And guess what? The day is coming, the cloud is going to start moving again. But praise God! We know the end of the journey, the next phase, is going to be even better. Yes. Praise the Lord. So I hope this is encouraging to you tonight. It's really a message of prepare for what I'm going to do in your life. Prepare for these things because this is the way it works. I want to go to that next level. I want to go to that next place. I want this next, whatever it is, I want to be willing to fight that battle, go through whatever, tear down those strongholds, just, you know, deal with me the way I need to deal with me, the sum total of everything required so that I get into that next place. Praise God. Go ahead and stand. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know how many people, how do I say this? Here, physically, watching and listening. There are some people, you needed this message. I mean, you needed this message. I'll say it dramatically. You needed this message more than you needed a healing in your body. Now, that's just for exaggeration. You understand? You needed this because it's brought some clarity to you on what's going on in your life, what God is doing, and what to expect. See, sometimes like what I've talked about here tonight, what the Lord shared with us, these kind of things can happen. But if you don't realize why these things are happening, you can almost get scared and think, well, I'm missing God. Well, I don't understand. Okay, this message is to help you understand. And for some of you, you may need to listen to this more than once. That's okay. Because God wants us to be at this place of being ready and willing to move with Him, regardless of what it takes, so He can get us into the next, that next level of our spiritual walk with Him.